This is the Courier Talking Football. I'm Eric Nicholson, and with me this week are, as if it's a change, yeah. I'll say this week when we're mixing it up and bringing in. With me are Jim Spence and Sean Hamilton. Jim, looking resplendent in his pullet. You've gone early, far too early, Jim. Has this winter begun, is it?
It's like a sauna, Eric. It's like a sauna. I made a big mistake today with the pullet neck, you know.
For the benefit.
Far too soon.
That's for the benefit of those of you who are not watching us on YouTube these days, you know. So,
yeah.
All the platforms now. But yes, so who do we start with? I think we'll start with Saints, Jim, because that's who you tackled. You tackled in your column before the game.
Right, that's right.
I think we all, there's been no secrets. This isn't a case of suddenly we're talking about the annual accounts now. Suddenly the annual accounts being thrown down as if, you know, here we go. You didn't see that coming, folks, did you? No, Stan Harris and Stephen McLean have both, you know, both Stephen McLean in terms of speaking about his budget. All the rest of it, Stan Harris with Stephen McLean. I think there was the fans meeting, wasn't it? I think, do we call it fans forum, fans meeting?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Early in the summer, basically laying out, you know, we're saving money. We've lost money. We're going to be saving money. So here we are, £1.5 million. There's something about annual accounts, though. They still sting, don't they? Even though you know they're coming. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, you know, you have to look back at how it's come to that. I don't think we'll not dwell on it for too long, Jim, but big mistakes. Eyes were taken off the ball, weren't they? And mistakes have been made in terms of, well, I'm putting it out there, were mistakes made? Was Steve Brown right? Steve Brown and Callum Davis and Ian Flaherty, were they right to think, oh no, we'll go down if we don't get packed the squad with lots of senior pros after their very close brush with relegation, because that's what they did, and they paid wages that, you know, as a whole, that St Johnstone wouldn't ordinarily pay on length of contracts and age that they wouldn't ordinarily push out to. So,
well, they overpaid for underperformers. That's the problem, and I think they overpaid in St Johnstone terms. They overpaid quite markedly, you know. So these accounts, you know, look, I think the first thing to say is the club is now, I think, on the right road. And as I said in my column at the weekend, this is not a club that's a basket case. It's a club with £4.5 million
in
cash reserves, you know, debt-free, on the ground, lock, stock and barrel.
Lots of land, blah, blah, blah.
You know, so if any club had to be £1.5 million in the red in the
or
you know, year ending.
In the years, yeah. Not
it was better being St Johnstone than someone else, you know. So yes, they made a mistake. And the point, this is no a case of trying to put the boot into people, because football, as I say at the weekend, you can go from hero to zero very quickly just because of, you know, one term's worth, if you want, of bad mistakes. And they did make bad mistakes. I mean, they got the recruitment wrong. You know, I think we can quite clearly hear and see from what Stan Harris has said, the recruitment's old school. You know, the days are kind of...
Not just Stan, but I mean, it's, yeah. You rightly pointed out, Tommy Wright wasn't exactly this, was he?
Years ago, you know, it's been needing addressed. Now they're going to address it, but it could have been... so much worse, and it could still be so much worse, because, you know, Steve McLean's now having to scrabble about putting a squad together that can keep Saints up, you know, so they've kind of lost a period of time. So the chairmanship of Stevie Brown, who, you know, won 3 trophies, I mean, remarkable thing for any football chairman.
Unlikely
never
to be better.
Never be better at St Johnstone, never be better at a Dundee United or a Hibs or an Aberdeen, never mind, you know, Saints. But the problem is, to some extent, it's kind of dented his reputation, I think, in a pretty big way, you know. So, yes, there were lots of mistakes made in terms of kind of the recruitment strategy, how players were scouted, the kind of players they've signed, the wages they paid, all of that. But you're going over old ground now. I mean, the key thing is, have they addressed it? I think so. Stan has certainly, you know, indicated that they're going to kind of really tober up the scouting policy, the whole kind of data analysis and all the rest, everything that goes with running a modern football club. And that goes along with the old school, you know, because you can't dispense with old school scouting and match reports from players that you've heard about and you've sent someone to see and all the rest of it. So there's data analysis going with old school hand in hand, and it sounds as though now they've maybe got to grips with that. I certainly hope they have. I mean, the recruitment so far looks it looks a big improvement on where they've been. But it's been a very costly exercise. And if Saints want to go down this season, because things don't just happen in one season. Mm-hmm. You know, businesses fail over a period of time. They don't fail in 6 months. So if Saints want to go down this season, you would cast your eye back then and say, there's where the problem is. Well, but you're right. Tommy Wright was casting his eye back even mm-hmm. further. When I was up interviewing Tommy for the BBC, he was complaining about the recruitment strategy.
You know, my last word on it all is that and I kind of get how they felt that everything they could do no wrong, because you know the facts were there. They could do no wrong. You know, they were winning, as you said, 3 trophies, umpteen European campaigns, top six finish kind of demeans it a wee bit, but you know, most of the time they were well higher than 6. So no wonder Steve Brown thought they could turn water to wine. I mean, because they had the secret, didn't they? And they were running the club on a, you know, not a shoestring, but you know, with the sort of budget that you know, your Dundee United's, your Hearts, your Hibs, your Aberdeens were miles ahead, and so they were doing everything. They were doing everything all the while tucking more money away in the bank. You know, it was an incredible football and financial success story. But then it wasn't, you know, Tommy Wright and others, you know, yeah. I think most people could see that, you know, St Johnstone should have been doing a Motherwell better than, you know, they were, as in picking up, you know, the ones that they could get from down south, you know, just knowing their market a bit better. And then that transfer window, they weren't ready to react to losing McCann, Kerr and all the rest, and that's when they needed structure and they needed all the rest of it, and that
there is no future planning.
They weren't
at
ready,
that point.
And then you can kind of, you know, it's like anything, when the knock on effects, aren't they? You can see where they were reactive after that, and I can see why Callum went super experienced 2 summers ago because of this. Because they got caught out so badly with all the kids that they brought along. And it was like, it's like when they hire managers, how often do you see clubs, they'll keep changing type of manager, won't they? After they sack one, they'll go at the other end of the spectrum. That's kind of what happened. But anyway, that is all done. But you look like you want to add the final word to the final word, Sean.
None of it's surprising.
No.
We've all seen it coming for quite a long time. Recruitment-wise, they did make an effort to do something a little bit different with Stevie Grieve when he came in.
They did,
They made an effort to do it. It didn't work.
It didn't,
And it didn't last very long.
Yeah. I think that probably burned them to a wee extent.
Yeah, possibly. Quite possibly. But yes, I mean, in terms of how other Premiership football clubs of a similar size go about the recruitment business, just as a singular example, St Johnstone, looks like they've been a long way behind. I think, and it's caught up to them, essentially, and we're now at a point where, in an effort to fix the problems reactively, as you say, they've spent a lot of money on a lot of players. It's kept them up 2 seasons in a row when they've been threatened with relegation, but it's cost them a lot of money, and they're now at a point where there's a new manager in who you could say has one hand tied behind his back.
Yeah, here's one for you, Sean, and let's use this as a starting point. So a lot of things were said on Twitter in the wake of it, and you get a lot of comments, can't reply to them all, but one was, and I think I did reply to this, somebody asked me, did they need to go as far as they did, as in this summer, in terms of writing getting the ship back on course, and what do you think it should have been, a phased or a sort of a more gradual, let's claw this £1.5 million back? I don't think, knowing Jeff Brown as I do, I think he's thought,
no, I think quite right. Yeah, I wouldn't tend to argue with anything that Jeff Brown decided was the way to go. Actually, one thing that is, I mean, I'm speculating a little bit here, but I think a marked difference between Jeff and Steve has been that over the last 2 seasons, when the struggle has been ongoing and has been expensive, I suspect if Jeff were in charge, particularly the second time around, he probably would have went, we're taking our medicine this season and we're going down. Mm. And that's it.
Or we're going with what? Yeah, even
I think there would have been a bit of that.
He's certainly not afraid of a relegation.
No, nope.
Jeff
nope.
Brown never has been. He's always put it in perspective. You know, in a lot of ways, I think he thinks you know the whole part time models, the ideal one.
He always did the rest of it.
But he's very much. Yeah, you're right. He's certainly not one to chase loss.
He probably would have seen it as throwing good money after bad, and I think he would have went, nah, that's it. We're taking it. We're taking the medicine. We're going down. But I mean, I think you're right to point out the Ali McCann, Jason Kerr thing, because it really is the genesis of the real problems where they began. Because I don't believe at that point there was effective planning around recruitment and where are we going to go from here if we do sell these players. And it was incredibly last minute. And some would say, I would say, they didn't get as much as they should have done for them. And it's caused a hell of a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's.
I mean, it's very, very difficult. And it's easy to be critical. I mean, it's a difficult thing to do. I mean, to some extent, I always think that, you know, it's kind of like business. You should almost be disaster planning. What happens if we lose McCann? What happens if we lose so-and-so? You know, yeah, I think you run through umpteen different scenarios in your mind at any given time in football. Some of them you can never account for because some come right out of the blue that there's nothing you could have planned for, you know. But they got it wrong. There's no doubt about that. And now they're running fast to try and catch up again. The good news, if it turns out that Stephen McLean has signed a good crop, the good news is that actually the damage, looking at the league table, though they're propping up along the Aberdeen, the damage isn't nearly as severe as it could have been.
I still don't think we've seen St Johnstone this season.
Mm-hmm. No, we haven't. Well, you're taking us, let's go away from the financials because it's not...
Well, it's not going to be done about it. It's what it is.
The old stuff, and we know what they're trying to do now, so we can see what they're doing. So that takes us into the team, if you will. We do know that he's had no option but to... There's risks. They're all risks. But, you know, there's no way he was going to get on the budget he was on. There was no way he was going to get Premiership ready core to his team. So he's taking some risks. Mm-hmm. And we're still... I mean, I was thinking about it today, actually. You know, I think Saints have played the top three already. I think they've played the top three. I think Hearts will be third.
They saw themselves
at Aberdeen. They're a terrible mess. Mm-hmm. I think that's the top three. At worst, they've played three of the top four. Mm-hmm. So there you are. And I think it was Chris Sutton used the phrase, I don't know what St Johnstone's identity are. Well,
no, I don't either.
And I think they're trying to find themselves. I don't think there's any shame in trying to find identity.
I made this exact point the other day. I was on a different podcast that I won't mention, but I made that point. I don't think any of us have seen what St Johnstone are going to be this season. And as you say, I think they're still trying to figure it out. You know, there's been a lot of different players brought in, so it's a case of let's see how they do, basically. And a lot of new signings who played at the weekend against Rangers there, and with varying degrees of success. Mm-hmm. I think, and there are still yet more new signings that we haven't really seen. So I think the St Johnstone that we've seen thus far, you know, give it 3 months, could be completely different, which makes it very, very difficult to try and analyse them at the moment.
You try doing it, yeah.
Oh, crikey. I couldn't.
No.
I genuinely couldn't.
I think I know what he's going to try. I think we'll get to a stage if the signings turn out to. I think he'll want pace on both sides, and he hasn't got that yet.
No,
and I think he'll want two ball players and two. I think he'll want Sprangler and probably Smith, as the two in front of the defense. And I think he'll start to push Dan Phillips a wee bit further forward.
Right. Where he can do some more damage.
I think that's kind of how I see it at the moment. I think he'll want a bit more running power on his side, and that'll be probably Dreary with Lad Costello, who's showing, you know, he's one of the ones you're talking about. There's good and bad, rough and smooth, and the lad you've not seen yet from Charlton. So
the Costello for me, look, he's an interesting one because he involves himself in the game a lot.
He does,
but he's a bit soft for my liking.
Mm-hmm. I think.
I'd like to see a little bit more bite from him, I think. But the positive side is that he doesn't hide. He goes and gets involved. Yeah. And that's a good thing. But I just think a wee bit more dig necessary.
He's got a bit of ability on the ball from what I've seen, which is what you're looking for.
We can't keep speaking about Chris Kane every week. Sometimes I find that I feel like I'm writing it about too much, but he has been out for the best part of 2 years. He went from a subby to he's gone from being injured, and we talked about the one of the ones that thinking, is it worth keeping him?
Be giving him a new contract. Yeah.
What did he get, 20 minutes against Dundee? There or thereabouts, maybe a wee bit more. And now he started. And now for me, he's one of your first...
He doesn't come out.
He's one of your first names on the team sheet. Yeah. Now, you can say that maybe doesn't say a lot for the rest of them, but you just can't underestimate how important he is to... And I think he now likes the fact that people know what type of... somebody called him a bull, and that's a good description for it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, and just he never used to be that. I said that to him a week or so ago when we were doing the previous. He never used to be that type of striker. I can remember him coming in and telling us how he wanted to bulk himself up like Stevie May and all the rest of it. But he's turned himself into that, and
he's powerful.
He's now they're now looking at boys who are gonna be the best fits around him.
But he's not a bull in a china shop. No. That's a key thing. He's shrewd. He's really cute. You know, I mean, I watched the game before I went off to Tannadice. I watched the game on Sky, and there were a couple of times where I thought he was a bit overly cute trying to win fouls and penalties.
I thought the second one was a penalty.
I thought it was as well.
It was nip and tuck. I watched it again this morning, and
I was screaming for it.
And I hate the phrase, but we've all seen them given.
How does it change? You know?
Hadn't been against Rangers.
Do you remember showing the game that Saints played against Falkirk? It was in the League Cup. I think Houston was the manager. I think John Beaton was the referee.
That's right.
And he gave about and like every time a ball went in the box, somebody was
it's for pushing and pulling. Yeah.
It was penalty. Aye, penalty. No, you're right. We've gone from that. Now to two arms around the
The one that was basically the challenge with the goalkeeper was the one that I was screaming for, because I was sat down that end of the main stand. So it was right in front of me. I thought that's a penalty all day. You watch the replay. I still think it's a penalty. I still think he gets the ball first, and I think the keeper takes him out after that. So my question then becomes, what's VAR for now?
Yeah.
If it's not for...
Well, I think I've spoken to a few people now who now think like that the rhythm referees are now got into now is they're just deferring. They're saying, that's too close. I'm going to wait and see what they say. But it counts against the chances of you getting a penalty because they then say, is it this clear and obvious error? And it's not good. So basically, they're not changing as much as they probably should.
I do still think that, I mean, for what Jim mentioned, Rangers there, I do still think there is an element in Scottish football of both Rangers and Celtic, not both of them, but when the stakes are high, as they always are for these teams to an extent, but particularly when they're very high, as they are at the moment, I think you're hard pressed to get
this. This is more hassle than it's worth.
We're getting into Craig Levein territory.
This is a conversation I've had with pals of mine that are Celtic and Rangers fans. I mean, I had a laugh one night with a guy on Twitter who said something about, you know, I was having a laugh at him saying, I just think if there hadn't been that age-old conspiracy, how many trophies Celtic would have won? He went, you're right. You know, they've won, 45 Scottish Cups, 40 leagues, and you're like that. They still think they get the raw end of the stick. You know, they still think there was a guy actually last night, I noticed, Roger Mitchell, who you know, Roger, ex-head of the SPL, he was having a pop at some Celtic fans last night. There was guys complaining about, look at the fixture list.
He has one as well.
And he's a Celtic man. He said that. He said him and Ian Blair both were. You know, I mean, he said, this is just nonsense. Celtic fans are paranoid with this sort of stuff, you know. But when it comes to penalties, I think you've still got to work very, very hard to get either half.
To be fair, that one, it's not as if it's a stonewaller or anything.
Neither of those stonewallers. I would agree with that.
It would have been the other way around. It would have been a penalty.
Yeah, so before we finish off with Saints, again, you can't disagree with folk who say, it's hard to see where a win's coming from, but I've thought that umpteen times with different clubs. When you're in a bad run of form without a win, it always seems that way, doesn't it? You look at a game, you think, well, we're not beating them, not beating them. Yeah. And that kind of feels that way with Saints, but they've got a run of 5-6, actually, I think, where they need to pick... They need to pick a couple of results up, don't they? But then again, it's about what your others, what the others do as well. That's as much about if they're all 7 or 8 points ahead. You know, Ross County, Livingston, Dundee. If they're marching away, then you can't just judge it on what you're doing yourselves.
No,
but this is a opportunity number one, would you say?
Hibs away. Yeah. Well, slightly unknown quantity, and the fact that the new, in the sense that they've got a new manager there.
Obviously. Quick again though, which worries me.
Well, that's problematic, but St Johnstone have got some pace in certain areas.
Aye, certain areas.
So we'll see how they cope with it. Again, very, very difficult to call, I'm not sure. Are we going to see this Austrian midfielder Sven Sprangler this weekend or what?
What's up with him? Just not fit enough yet?
No. It's one permit stuff.
It's one permit, right? Okay.
So basically, if you've got umpteen caps and you're Kyogo or whatnot, all the boxes get ticked straight away. Uh-huh. If you're not, and he's not obviously been cut, then they have to set exams and all sorts, and it just takes its...
I'd love to see those exams. What are those exams about?
And if they're cheating there on their phone... And
unbelievable.
What is the capital of Albania?
It's a spelling test. It must be a spelling test and stuff like that.
Bizarre.
I'll ask...
We should find out, yeah.
If we get a preview, I'll speak to Sven and say, what was your test and how did you do?
Absolutely. Let's do it. But yeah, Hibs first, yeah. It's an opportunity in the sense that... they haven't been brilliant so far this season, so there's that. You look beyond that, and there's Livingston. That's at home. That has to be considered an opportunity.
That one, yes.
And then Aberdeen away. Normally, you would consider that a tough one, but at the moment,
for the first time, Sean, the Aberdeen fixtures are going to be Saints are getting lucky. After Europe, so exactly. You're hoping they'll be gubbed by then. So,
and then you've got Motherwell. Who have done well.
Could be a new manager both for Aberdeen right now.
I'll tell you what, I mean, if somebody said to me at the start of the season, 5 games in, Saints will be bottom, you might have thought, but Aberdeen will be next, then it'll be Hibs and Dundee and Killie. You'd have thought, what have you been smoking here?
I know,
you
it's crazy, yeah.
It's just amazing. You know,
apart from Hearts, who seem to be righting themselves a little bit, but the impact of that European football, there you go. I think we talked about this very early in the season, didn't we?
We did. And so these clubs would say,
"Oh no, that won't affect us." Yes, it does.
No, it does.
Folk that are watching Aberdeen are telling me that they're like knackered already.
Aye.
You know, the shinies, legs look like they're gone.
Well, I mean, he's getting to a certain age as well, shinny. Mm-hmm. When the legs tend to go, and when it happens.
It can go very, very quickly. Yeah.
But the next 6 games for St Johnstone, this is where I think we'll get a proper sense at the end of that what this season is going to be like in McDermott Park.
Yes, good. Right, Jim. None of us saw Dundee, but it kind of turned into, Saints Rangers in the end turned into a sort of one of those games that you've seen a million times before, and Dundee Celtic did as well. I don't know. Tony Docherty had a case with a... I thought it was a daft tackle. I thought it was a penalty, I must admit.
But. Yeah, it was a penalty because it was contact. I think he was right. It was naivety. It was naivety that sucked his player into it, you know. But you know what, that happened. You're talking there about European football and players looking knackered at Aberdeen and the rest of it. I thought Cammy Kerr's comments in the Courier, you know, looking at the game, were just spot on. Mentally exhausting playing Celtic. Rangers to a lesser extent because they're not quite as good a team, but it's mentally exhausting playing against Celtic. I mean, you know, they're touching movement, they're running off the ball, running channels, you know, spinning off your shoulder. There are players going everywhere, and that was the point he was trying to make. Every second you're looking around, where did he go? Where's my teammate? I think after 95 or 96 minutes, however, the game lasts, when you're playing against that kind of quality, I think it's exhausting.
Particularly
really exhausting.
It.
Yeah. They did well until was it 50. 51 minutes they kind of lost the goal. I mean, the penalty, I mean, yeah, I thought it was a penalty. I mean, there's a lot of point in that. Was it soft? Yeah, and the football I was brought up with, it was soft, but it's a penalty in the modern age. But the two other goals, the defence was just kind of, it wasn't even cut to pieces, it was just the movement, the touch, you know, the quickness of thought. The cutbacks and the rest of it. I mean, trying to deal with that. It's, you know, you think he's lost his marker. He's been chasing that marker for 60, 70 minutes and trying to stay with him. And the guy is a quicker of thought, quicker, fleeter of foot. You know, it's kind of like a very decent boxer against an absolutely top kind of top quality pro. At the end of the day, quality will out. So Dundee actually did quite well, I think, to come away with a real hammer. I mean, it's a beating. But it wasn't an embarrassment. I mean, bear in mind, United took 9 off Celtic and at Tannadice, you know. So to go to Celtic Park and come away with that, particularly having held on for 51 minutes, wasn't a bad result. I think it was Cammy, I'm not sure, one of the guys had said it. This is not the game. And it's sad to say, because that's the way our game has gone.
It's true, though.
This is not the game that will define our season. Nah. You know, that's just a simple truth of the matter, you know. Same as Saints.
You could write those quotes before the game, couldn't you?
Absolutely. Well, it is sad, you know. I mean, it's kind of, you're a football fan, you always think to yourself, why should Hibs or Aberdeen or St Johnstone or Dundee be thinking about winning a league? Well, it's very simple. The financial chasm is just absolutely ginormous, you know, and you can't get close to it. So they can sign only 11 better players. They can sign entire squads that are better than anything that you've got in your squad. I mean, you always ask yourself that. Who in that Dundee squad would make the Celtic team? No one. Mm-hmm. Who in that Dundee squad would make the Celtic squad? No one. Mm-hmm. That's the simple truth of the matter, and that's not in any way putting the boot in the Dundee boys. I think Doc's actually on the verge of creating a pretty decent side there, but to go down to Celtic Park and play against that quality of touch and movement and perception and just sheer athleticism and quickness, very, very, very difficult.
Sometimes you can have your day in those scenarios, mm-hmm. but I mean, we all said it last week when we saw Scotland England, we all just went, we came away from that thinking levels, mm-hmm. it's a different level. And that's as simple as that. And it's the same in Scotland with the Dauphin.
Don't think there's going to be many times when Tony Docker is going to say same again with his team, is he? He's, mm-hmm. He likes to change his lineup, doesn't he?
Mm. I made a couple, didn't he? But Cammy
back in.
Came back in. It was two changes.
They've had Howley.
That's he right. Yeah. Aye. So.
I love Cammy. Cammy's a survivor, eh? That's great. The time that he's been there since he's a kid, obviously, but. I mean, now, in terms of the first team, I mean, he's played under how many managers now? Hell of a lot. But he just seems to keep winning them over.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right.
I love that.
Well, there was only one that he hadn't won over, but he saw him out, wasn't he?
Yeah, well,
that's true.
Yeah, but I think most managers are kind of more tinkerers than they used to be. I'm
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah, it's more of a modern phenomenon. You play the game in front of you. So depending on your opponent and what opportunities their strengths and weaknesses present to you, then you alter your approach.
This one though, if I want to be anywhere, I think it would be Dens on Saturday. Mm. Not as much just for the post match and the McInnes.
That will be cracking.
Yeah. Watch. Oh, right. I want to. That's dead. You going to go for his job?
Oh, I'll be there. I will be there. Freeze on excitement.
I think there's just as pally as they always were. I haven't had any hint of a Docherty McInnes fallout. So I think it's purely the football opportunity for Tony Docherty that took him to Dens. You know, a very successful managerial partnership. But this is a fascinating one. Well, it begins from the preview press conference, doesn't it? Master v Apprentice.
Mm, absolutely.
All the rest of it. Yeah. Even though ages-wise, they're probably about the same age, aren't they?
Yeah.
They'll be preparing that.
Doc might be older, I think. Yeah. I think Doc's older.
Is he? Let's have a look.
I may be wrong. I'll have a shift. I think it was Doc 51.
He's looking at it now. He's been at Dens a couple of months.
As a football manager, 6 months in the job, your hair goes grey. He's going grey anyway. But no, I mean, God, I mean, it's one of the hardest jobs in the world.
He's not growing the McInnes beard, though, is he?
They're talking about making the changes and all the rest of the
ages, come on, and Sean, tell us.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same, are they?
52
now. They're all 52 now.
There you go.
He's been a bit forever, you know.
What are the dynamics at play for this between, particularly for Docherty, knowing that everything's of him. You say Tony Docherty, okay, at the moment. You say Tony Docherty, you think Dan McInnes, don't you?
Well, that's how it is. He will know Dan
McInnes. Wise, it's all that sort of stuff. So what's the...
Donald and Dean.
Where are we going at, Dick?
So... I've seen nothing about the height of the two of them, though. But what's going through? I mean, there'll be so much second guessing going on, won't there?
Well, I mean,
tactically, they'll be looking at what each other say in their preview press conferences. Uh-huh. What's the dynamics at play here, Jim?
Well, the dynamics is they both know each other inside out. That's the first thing. They'll know the thought process. You know, they've been together for such a long, long time. They'll know each other's thought process. How well they'll know each other's squads.
Well, they better pick each other's team, do you think?
I'm not convinced of that. I mean,
they'll both have their moles.
Derek McInnes is a good man for finding out.
That's the nature of the game, isn't it?
I think they'll both know the other's team on the Friday night. I reckon.
That's football. That's how it happens.
That's because Jim will be texting both of them.
I once got nailed by. I'm trying to remember who the manager was, and he said to me, "Have you just given that my team?" And I was horrified. It was before the game because you get the team, you get the team lines early to set them up before you do the pre-match stuff. You're a trackside reporter, and I was horrified because it was something I would never have done unless there was money involved. I mean, I'd never have done that. And eventually, there was a nearby reporter who kind of sheepishly put his head down. He'd handed the team over and he'd been asked for it. Have you got a team? Because managers used to do that all the time. Are you giving you his team yet? He used to go, no, I've not got it yet. You know, you're clutching it under your arm. But I mean, they may well know him. Sean's kind of, you know.
Oh, I think they will.
Sean, kind of, a bit like the third man here, isn't it? Like kind of secret squirrel stuff, you know. He's about late phone calls on a Friday night. Have you got that team yet? You know, it ends, you know. But I just think, you know, there's been such big changes in the Dundee squad. The Kelly squad, I have to say, I mean, I've not paid a huge amount of attention to. But these guys have been in the game for years. They know, you know, they know the script inside out. I'm intrigued as to how Tony plays it, because he's liking this 4-4-2 system, isn't he? With Bakayoko and Robinson up front, it was on Saturday. And, this, you know, the onus is kind of on to... You know, you're the home team. The onus is on it. I hesitate to say entertain, but it is. But the onus is on to go and try to win the game, you know.
Who'll feel more of a... Who has more of a, I need to win this in the whole McInnes-Doherty thing? Is it McInnes or Doherty?
Is it the...
In what the
sense?
No, you can just say...
In the sense of the one that has more approved... Yeah. Want, is it the man who wants to get out the shadow of the boss? Or is it is it the boss who's got his...
I'm still the main man.
I'm still the main man. Who is it then, Sean? Who's got more riding on this in terms of
brutal question.
Come on. I expect an answer.
Well, I think probably Dell.
Yeah?
I think Dell will want it more. Just to... Put him in his place.
I don't think he'll want it more. I think he'll want it as much. But I think there might be.
That's
might
not.
Well
I mean,
the
listen.
Young
that's not to say that
up.
Tony Docherty will not be bothered or anything like that. But I just think I think that the thought of losing would bother Del more to his former assistant. I think.
Yeah,
that's my position.
Might they fall out? Might there be kind of tension in the
could be, you know.
It's Pep Guardiola Arteta here, isn't it?
You know.
Scotland's answer to those two. Well,
I mean, that happens in football. I feel like a manager and an ex-manager on Saturday at Tannadice that have all gone previously very well. Hopefully we're fine now. But I mean, that's the nature of football. You know, Dell doesn't want to be under any more pressure.
How do they treat it? How do the two of them, do they treat it all matey-matey?
Oh, no.
Big hugs and all that stuff.
Definitely.
Maybe before the game and after the game, maybe a beer in Doc's room after the game. But I mean, during the game, I mean, these guys are professional competitors, you know.
It'll not be Alec Thornton and Walter Smith in the police cell.
I forgot about that.
Hey, remember that one?
I remember that with Thornton. No,
that's because I saw him a couple of weeks ago a memorial service for a former journalist. Yeah. And we didn't talk about that right enough, but it put it back into my mind. But
no, I don't think the two of them will end up a Bell Street, let's put it that way, you know. But it'll be tense. I mean, you know, this is Doc staking out his territory as a manager. I hesitate to say up and coming manager. He's 51 years
old. He's been a long time,
you know, he's been about a long time, but as an assistant, so he's staking his territory. Dell's, I hesitate to say under pressure, but well, you always are in football.
It's not done as well as I thought. I mean, they've had those two stunning results, Kilmarnock, but I was expecting to see... Where are they in the league? Hold on,
well, there's a league table.
I was expecting to see them safely tucked away in the top six already, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Eighth.
And if it's another game that they lose on grass, I mean, it's...
Yeah, but there is that factor, isn't there? There's always that whiff.
They get away with that a lot, don't they? I mean, they're not quite... They've not ended that story... From last season, have they yet?
No, I mean, Livy sort of successfully did it a wee bit, but Kilmarnock, it's still hanging around a wee bit. That pitch is a significant weapon for them.
I think McInnes is less likely to be too clever with his team. My worry might be that in the second guessing game that Tony Docherty goes one step too far. Maybe not.
Oh, you haven't. But do you know what it is, though? You know? I mean, regardless of anything else, and it's great. It's pantomime. And that's a lot of fun, isn't it?
that's what the game's about. You know what I mean? I mean, bluntly, Scottish football these days at top level is about two things. About trying to be in the top six, which is sad, it's artificial, but that's it. You're never going to catch Celtic Rangers, we know that. So it's about top six. And it's also, at the other end, it's about avoiding relegation, avoiding kind of staying away from that. And these two are both clubs that potentially could be top six, but they could also potentially be relegation candidates. You know, I mean, I think the league is that tight. That league, you know, St Mirren, Robson's done a great job at St Mirren. We're a bit surprised at Motherwell, but whether it'll still be like that come the end of the season, I don't know. I you know what, I'd love to see St Mirren and Motherwell. You want to see your own clubs up there, but if St Mirren and Motherwell could stay sitting there, that'd be fabulous for Scottish football if these two could do it, kind of breaking to some extent the back of the bigger city dominance as well. You know, no, that's not been the kind of dominance if it was Celtic Rangers, but the big city clubs are always at an advantage. They're better supported, they've got more money and all the rest of it, you know. But from the perspective of this one,
the big gate, let's forget the McInnes Doherty factor. It's a huge game for Dundee, this, isn't it?
Oh, I think so.
Well, I think both, a win again. Dundee feels like they're just they're always teetering on this. You're never quite sure, good start, bad start, aren't you? Mm-hmm. And it's floating along. I think we're now say it's a bad start.
Could be. Could be. I mean, you look at the squad.
Winning, it's a good start.
You look at the squad at the moment and you think, well, that looks like a Premiership squad to me, and one that should be fairly comfortable somewhere tucked in the middle. On an average year sort of thing. So, I mean, you lose to Killy, where are you going to be in the table at that point?
Well, I mean, at the minute, they're both sitting there on you know, 5 points apiece. So the win's important because psychologically you jump above them. Yeah, and depending how results go elsewhere, I mean, you've got Hearts and Ross County only sitting on 7 points.
Yeah, you're starting, I mean, at the moment, Dundee you know? Lose. They're on five at the moment. They lose. You're starting to get detached in that wee group at the bottom at that point. So
it then depends what happens elsewhere, the Aberdeens and you know the Hibs.
Yeah, but one of them, if there's a winner, one of them's calling it a good start. One of them's starting to think
it's probably fair enough. Yeah,
which raises the stakes. No, that'll be good. You'll be taking notes for us there, Jim, won't you?
I'll be copious notes.
Watch the dugouts and not the game, okay?
Copious notes, don't you worry.
So let's hope there's nobody that you find to be scrapping with at this one, okay? So you behave yourself.
I was only verbal.
You behave yourself at Dens Park, but so sure. of the game at Tannadice. First of all, we saw something that we probably weren't expecting. Declan Gallagher and the goalkeeper have been two of the shining lights, you know. So they got into a bit of a mess, which cost them a goal. So you box it off, you move on, these things happen. Mm-hmm. They've been two of their best players and will continue to be. The bits that I think we're probably going to, we might end up boring United fans over the course of this season. Hopefully
probably do
not,
anyway.
Probably do anyway. But I was reading between the lines of Alan Temple's piece and he didn't go in with two feet. But when Middleton and Watt are getting thrown up, aren't they? They're getting thrown up, and I think they're getting. And I had a dip into Twitter as well, and United fans are mentioning them both in growing numbers, I would suggest.
Right.
Tony Watt hasn't lasted longer than 77 minutes in a game this season. Now, there's a reason for that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not been the player. He's not been a creative hub for them, which is the role he's in the team for, because Liam Holt is by far and away the best striker in the league.
Yeah.
He's going to score goals. They're building a team around him. Quite right. Absolutely no argument. And United will be a much poorer team when he's not in it. Middleton isn't. Jim Goodwin's not turned him into the player he said he wanted to turn him into. So these are two big earners, big personalities, big players for Dundee United. And it could become a problem for Jim Goodwin, couldn't it?
Well, it's a problem.
A selection problem?
Yeah, it's a selection problem. It's also a problem in the respect that they are big earners. I've got a rough idea of the kind of money Watt's on, less so with Middleton, but he's still a big earner, I know that. And I think, you know, particularly in the Championship season, United will still be paying better wages because they're a much bigger club.
They'll
still be paying big wages or bigger wages. But you kind of wonder at which stage squads are tight and all the rest of it. But you know, you do kind of wonder if some people might be thinking, as much as these two, I'm earning X, they're earning
teammates.
Y. You know,
that's
human nature. But the truth is, there were two or three things struck me with the weekend's performance. I kind of didn't think that and I like glass. I didn't think they got as much out of glass mm-hmm. as they should have, but it was Watt and Middleton that really struck me. I don't see Middleton playing.
Where did he play him?
He was in the kind of on the wide of that kind of. It was like a 4-2-3-1. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, so he's in the wide. Watt, of course, is
left or kind right?
Of, yeah, on the right.
He's on the, he so on, he's gone back. He so already, right. Jim Goodwin's given up on the idea of this dynamic right. left wing. Yeah,
could you on the left? If you saw the highlights, you'd have seen could you getting sent off. When so
he's basically now trying to do what other managers have tried to do, playing the middle and playing on the right of the three.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Jim, because I wasn't at the game. But I mean, these players who do play on either side of that three, if you like, they do tend to swap.
They do
games as well. Mm-hmm. So there's every chance Middleton spent some time over on the left.
Yeah, I just, you know, to be honest, there's a. I cannot demur from what United fans are saying here. I don't think that Middleton has got the spark to really turn the game for United. I mean, I've seen him a couple of times motoring, and he's got a bit of pace about him, but he just doesn't do it often enough. Delivered a couple of decent balls into the box. It was one, as I recall, that Moult, I think, would work with. But by and large, the infrequency, I think, of you know, the supply, the infrequency of beating a man, really making a telling pass, All of that, I think, lets him down. I think he fails to deliver. And Tony Watt, I like Watt, but more and more, I tend to think he's a luxury player, you know. And that sitting behind Moult, that's not particularly working. And he's got some players are unfortunate in respect of the way they play the game. He seems to kind of trudge back. You know, if he loses it, he kind of trudges a wee bit. And there's some players that are like that. Scottish fans, by and large, don't like that. They like to see a guy going full pelt, full pell-mell into something. They think that the effort equates to ability. It often doesn't. You know, it's often a great disguise.
It masks things,
you know. But Tony Watt, to me, and he had the skipper's, band, armband on the weekend. Mm-hmm. He's his vice captain, isn't he? You know. He just, I thought neither of the two of them did sufficiently well to lift what was a pretty flat performance from United. They had a better possession, but not by a huge amount. I think it was 54-46 or something like that. Morton were actually pretty decent, and they were in United's face all the time, shut them down, went for the long ball because they've got big, what do you call them up front, the big...
Muirhead,
yeah. Who of course was a bit of a disaster at Tannadice, but you know, that long ball. But they shut United down quite often. They pressed up on them. They were pretty rough. I mean, no knocking them, they've got to do what they've got
to do.
A
team in their manager's image.
Exactly. They were pretty rough. They didn't mess about. There were a few tackles that I thought really should have merited yellow cards. I wonder if they
thought a lot of shirt pulling in that one as well.
That's right. But to the two men who are probably, may well be the biggest stars, I don't know. But Middleton and Watt, I don't think have yet hit form. And to be honest, I'm not convinced they will.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced they will.
They shouldn't be beige, should they? They should be elevating the team. Yes, those two.
100%. Yeah. I mean, Middleton is a frustrating relationship with my opinion of him, if you like, because I've seen him when he was at St Johnstone, obviously. Mm-hmm. At certain times, he looks great. Mm-hmm. And then at others, he doesn't look like anything at all.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the evidence would suggest it's more often the latter.
Yeah, that's right.
Than the prior. Because, you know, if there was a manager out there who could somehow, I don't know what it is that he needs, but who could give him what he needs in terms of confidence, arm around the shoulder, or who knows, maybe a kick up the arse.
Yeah.
Maybe a combination of the two. But if there's a manager out there who could somehow...
That's physically impossible, I think. Well, maybe you manage it.
Well, you're looking for a level of consistency, and I don't think you're getting that from him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you have... Seven really
good
games.
He's got lots of ability.
A couple of bad ones, but it just doesn't appear to be working. That's, and you know, Jim Goodwin will know the reasons, or he might not. You know, I mean, it might well be that in training, both the guys are great and attitude's brilliant and all the rest of it. On the pitch, it doesn't look to me as though they're bringing their A game to the proceedings.
You could say that they're both in some way in the same camp of player, and that their ability is inarguable because. Manager after manager after
good
manager
ball,
has seen it and thought, yes, I'll have
I'll be the one.
Absolutely. And they all think that they'll back themselves to turn them into the player that they should be. But then for some reason, it all just gets a bit...
Yeah.
As the season progresses, you know. Unfortunately, it seems to be happening a wee bit quite early in the season. Mm-hmm.
No, for United. I mean, we praise United. And when we say... I think we're already seeing that they're a functional team. Mm. rather than a
Last week we were having them unbeaten champions.
Still could be. I was going to be the first to tweet if United lost.
To be honest with you, I'd almost written my column. I had written my column at the weekend saying that, you know, could they be the Invincibles? Mm-hmm. You know, could they do an Arsenal?
Don't worry, we said that for you.
Well, I know. And then I thought to myself, and then I saw the Saints results coming through. You know, the million halved in the Swanee. I thought that's a better column. You know,
but no, we praised them for being functional. But it's if you're functional and you're not grinding out results, then you get the spotlight.
Well, I think you've got to be really functional in this league, but you also have to have other things about you. And I think defensively, you know, the goalmouth blunder, you know, that's the sort of thing that happens once in a blue moon. Yeah. It happens to the best players in the world, you know.
You will have an
offer. And I think you can't knock. I mean, Gallagher and the goalkeeper have been great. You know, they've been excellent. So I mean, these things happen. It's a misunderstanding.
Yeah. Gallagher at that level, you would expect a stroke.
I mean, okay, yes. I mean, you can say, well, schoolboy stuff. You learn to clear the lines and all the rest of it, but you know, they're so close to each other. It's just one of these things that happens, you know.
And then you get the red card.
The red card was an intriguing one because I was sitting with Alan Temple and Peter Rundle, who kind of the legendary kind of long time program editor. Is he gone off? He went, oh, it looks like
more
it.
Infamous.
I couldn't see it. And I've looked at it umpteen times in the replay, and I just cannot see what he's gone off for. Whether there's an elbow, whether he leaves a boot
that's
in.
What it looks
but the
like.
linesman, you know, or the assistant referee to give him his full title, obviously saw something, and next thing we could, Joe was away, and he just looked amazed. He looked amazed at it. So that didn't help, the fact that they were down to 10 men, and Morton were good after that. Yeah. You know, they kind of came on to a game and had a few attempts at goal. I mean, the shots on goal weren't great from either side, you know, but they were lively and they were in the face, and United were done 10. Now, the problem is, United are not that good. They can afford to play 10 against mm-hmm. 11, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder what's going on with, you know, what in particular, you know, I kind of wonder what they do there because, you know, he's got the ability in the world, but it just doesn't seem to be functioning. And I wonder too about things like Fotheringham came on, sort of Mikis and Sybil, but I wonder about the likes of Fotheringham sitting there. The lad, he looks a really tidy player.
Yeah, you know, I like him.
If you've got somebody kind of constantly sitting on the bench, champing at the bit and champing mm-hmm. at the bit, you know, it's hard to just keep them, I think, motivated, mm-hmm. as motivated as they should when they're looking and thinking, I can do that, mm-hmm. I can do better than that. You know, so I think there are some maybe tough calls for
Jim. This will be a test if, and I'm speaking without mm-hmm. having seen United games, but if everybody else, I know, sounds like terrible details, that's why I'm asking the question. If Jim Goodwin is coming to the conclusion that he's got that basically one of these two or both these two need to be left out of the team, it's one thing thinking it, it's another thing doing it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's not done it yet. Has he? He's not done it with Watt. Has he done it with Middleton?
The difficulty you've got, Eric, is that when you've got two players who have undoubted talent, you're always thinking
your faith's always
this
be
might
greater.
Be the day. Yeah. This might be the day where they just hit that purple patch and they destroy somebody.
And then they're unplayable.
He goes unplayable. That's right. Because you know Middleton, since he's got the ability to be unplayable, he's got the ability in that division, I think, to go mm-hmm. by men, to get shots in, to get good quality crosses,
match
in,
winner,
and to be a match winner. And what you know what has got undoubted same. Ability as well, but it's getting them to lift their performances beyond the mundane. And you know, and Jim Goodwin was, I thought, pretty fair in his assessment on Saturday. He didn't hide anything. You know, he wasn't great on the day. It was a kind of flash performance. Much of that was done to Morton. Can't take a lot of that away from Morton. But United didn't get the ball into the wide often enough. Mm-hmm. They didn't get kind of the wide men kind of taking on the fullbacks, getting by them, getting crosses into the box and all the rest of it. And it kind of went a wee bit flat, you know.
The thing is, though, when you will have these days. Yeah, even the best team in any league will have the odd day when it doesn't quite click for them, you know. And if you have that day, you have a man sent off, you're down to 10 men, you still don't lose.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's not too much to complain about now.
Yeah, well, United fans like a trip to Inverness, don't they?
We dodges away.
Well, they're going to get a new manager bounce or an old manager bounce to contend with.
Inverness, big trouble. Looks
I
to
can
me.
See why. Listen, a second. Yeah, you can see. I mean, the results have been awful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely awful. Yeah. And they should be mid-table at worst, Inverness, shouldn't they? And if they're not cut adrift already, they're very, very close to it. even not for the title. Yeah.
There's a real danger.
Forget
for
about
them.
That. No. You know, they could be going down. Yeah. You know, when you look at Arbroath's form.
Yeah, fantastic.
Ayr look a bit like, yeah, they look as if they could be vulnerable. But, yeah, Inverness should be doing a lot, lot better than that. And it'll be intriguing to see. I think it's unlikely they'll have a new manager in time because they've said, what, John Robertson and Charlie Christie, is that right? In terms for this game?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it, Robert? I mean, Robert was the director of football there, but I mean, dodgy didn't they got him particularly well, you know? I'm not even sure if they spoke. I think the relationship is a bit kind of... But I was sorry to see, I mean, I like Dodgy, so, you know, I've worked with him a lot over the years. We've all known him as a player and a manager and all the rest. I liked him, but the results were pretty grim, you know. Did he not just sign a new contract?
Did in the summer. Months back. Yeah. In the, after the
signed a new contract. And next thing he's punted him. I can never understand that. Happens to managers sometimes.
Nobody could have foreseen this.
Sometimes players, you know, players just get fed up hearing the manager. They get fed up and they've heard them a million times. And
has John Robertson got the? Has he still got the? Does the flame still burn for him? The hunger to be.
John's had his,
been out of it a long time.
He's had his personal health issues and all the rest of it. I know that. I like Robbo. He's a good guy. Knows the game.
I remember when we started this podcast business, Jim. You were forever touting him for the Dundee job, weren't you?
Well, no. Did I ever tout him for the Dundee job? That was what got me into trouble on Saturday for not touting somebody for the Dundee job. 3 years ago. Anyway, enough of that. I don't know. I've got a sneaky feeling that they might kind of go for somebody else. It might be a holding operation there. I think they probably need somebody to come in and complain.
Robert John, I mean, Robert's very close with Scott Gardner, yeah, obviously, who's up there as the CEO, I believe.
I said it a few weeks ago that I like the look of the St Mirren manager, not getting him in there. The Stirling manager, Mr. Young, I think somebody should be taking a chance on him. And is Inverness, is it a big enough move up for an Airdrie manager, for example? He's doing very well, good young manager. What type of... Where are Inverness now in the pecking order? Because you kind of judge them by having won the Scottish Cup.
Yeah, they always struck me as a strange club. There was, I mean, I remember I drew the short straw to do a feature on
to go to Inverness.
Well, no, I didn't. When they went to Scottish Cup final,
it was
a Falkirk. I was on the bus.
Ah, it was Falkirk.
I was on the bus the next day with them, but I got sent up to do a piece on Inverness the day that, you know, when everybody else had decamped to Hamden. I'm wondering about Inverness trying to.
So you were hoping Falkirk won, you know, then, basically.
I got sent to a social club. Me and the cameraman went to a social club, and it was full of what's the other team? Was it Clark?
Clark,
aye. Yeah. They were rooting for. They were desperate for Inverness to lose. You know, so there's still a wee bit of tension up there. But for instance, they're not as well supported. They don't have as big a core support as Ross County. We're only 10 mile up the road.
We don't exactly have a big support.
Exactly. And I always remember Roy McGregor saying he actually, on any given day, he got a big chunk of Inverness people coming to pay money for hospitality and all the rest of the county. So County always struck me as a kind of maybe, I don't mean a bigger club because there's not much between the two of them, but I just, you know, Inverness have done brilliantly, but if they fall from grace here, you could just see them kind of, you know, down into that. And
they've had big financial troubles.
Yeah,
that came as a shock to me.
They've big financial issues as well, you know, but I don't know what they'll do. I mean, I'm not close enough to the action up there. I know whether, you know, there'll be an old pals act and Robbo will come in and work along with, you know. Happens in football, you know.
It has been known, but will they give United a game? That's one of the points.
Shouldn't do.
Just in case folk are wondering whether we'd slipped into a Highland podcast.
No, United will pump them. United
will pump them. Whoever it is.
I'm taking United to give them about four.
Yeah.
I'll join in with that.
And the basis being?
Jim said it.
Apart from that, Inverness are just rubbish.
No, I just think, I mean, you look at the form, it's clearly not going well. I mean, it would need to be a sort of situation whereby, you know, a manager who they're sick of listening to goes, someone else comes in, and all of a sudden they respond to this new voice and turn into the team that they always were, really. And I can't see that happening. So, Dundee United for me.
Well, they ain't going to be United's rivals, but Wraith have hit the top.
Yeah, and superb, yeah.
There was a quote from the match winner who said, "We've not even started playing well yet." Yeah. There you go, Jim. I actually looked at their bench and United's bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not much, you know. Really? I don't think. I think you could exaggerate United's strength and depth.
Right, this could be a season long rivalry.
Well, I'm not saying that, but you can exaggerate United's strength and depth just in terms of, you know, the big names and all the rest of it. But
I actually wouldn't go that far with United, be it strength and depth.
Neither would I. I mean, to be honest with you, there's the bench that hasn't started.
You can fall into the trap of thinking United have got like 25 good.
Yeah, it's not the case.
They don't. But I mean, to be honest with you, in terms of strength and depth, Sybold, Fotheringham, the weekend, haven't seen enough of Denham. Ross Graham's kind of. The picture again is a central defence. Well, it's not a defence you look at and you go,
starting 16 on the bench.
That's right. So, you know. I mean, I must admit, at the start of the season, I thought Dunfermline would be right up there. And they still might,
This Wraith have signed well.
But they have signed well. And, you know, I think it's not just about depth, it's about quality of the depth. I think that's it. You know, everybody's got a 20-man squad these days, what's the quality within that? And if you look at the Wraith results, for one thing, and the quality within it, man, does it match United? Well, apparently at the moment it does, because they're top of the league. You know, so there's the league table never lies. Far too early to make any great judgments on
United,
that.
United have scored more and conceded fewer than Wraith.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not as if... It's not as if there's a huge difference between the two of them, I don't think, but it's lively, certainly, which is quite exciting, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I kind of mentioned it last week. It'll be interesting to see if Wraith go again in January, how, you know, if they're, for example...
If they're close.
Yeah, if they're either close or even in front, they think, this is the greatest might chance we're ever going to get.
New ownership, they might well just go, right, here we go.
Fancy this. Have you seen them yet?
I haven't seen them yet. The ownership thing is fascinating because they came in from Kelty.
We'll get Craig in.
And they came in with big plans, you know. And it's obviously going well at the minute. I mean, I think the crowds are up as well. The season books have gone up. Mm-hmm. You know, there seems to be a real resurgence at the Rovers. I used to get them. I digress, as I often do. I once took my young lad, who was only about 10, to cover a game with me at Wraith, and I was going to be able to get the after-match interviews, and I fell through the stairs and twisted an ankle. ended up in the physio's table at Wraith after the game. They're a club with a bit of potential. I don't know if
things
they've got
potential.
Things
happen to you
guys. Lucky Whiteheather.
Never a dull moment.
I'm not sure they've got the same potential as Dunfermline crowd-wise and all the rest of them, but I mean, they look as though they've put together... They look as though they've put together a very decent squad. Yeah. And you can't again see them at the minute. And psychologically... You know, they will be feeling cock a hoop.
Although he, whose name we don't speak, they have bounced back from all the off-field issues they have, which aren't that long ago. David Goodwillie,
that was
a club that looked like, you know, it was...
Yeah, they were in a bad way.
It was a big misstep.
Mm-hmm.
There were fundamental... problems.
There were. And actually, I think, I mean, you look at now that the ownership has changed, it's absolutely the best thing that could have happened in the aftermath of that was the clear out, basically, at the ownership level.
And they were a tired club.
I loved how, you can kind of get a bit too, put too much into this, but I loved in the summer when they were like, when they were tarting up the dressing rooms and stuff like that. Remember, they were restoring, the badge on the floor. And all the social media and stuff. They're getting things right at Wraith now.
Yeah.
They've got one big thing wrong, but they're getting things now.
Right. It's not for me to say, because it's not me directly that deals with them, but I mentioned Craig's name. That's Craig Cairns, obviously, who works for the Courier, writes about Dunfermline and Wraith Rovers specifically, but Fife football in general, and he deals with Wraith Rovers a lot more than anybody else does. And I mean, once the new ownership came in, there was a definite change in approach and how they handled their PR and their media approach. It's clearly come to the fore. They're taking it very seriously. I think the new ownership are serious people. They know what they're doing. It looks like a club transformed, certainly. Well, a club transforming itself and well on the way already. So, yeah, fair play to them. They've done a great job.
Yes, good. Good. Oh, well, we'll like to end on a high note. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Wraith are playing the weekend, aren't they? I think, no, they've got two winnable games. I did check that.
Right.
I think Ayr and...
I'm not checking the fixtures. Let's have a look.
Who's the other one? Because United are coming up, I think it's three games away. United play Wraith. And I've got a feeling they've got...
They've got Airdrie.
Airdrie and is it Airdrie and Ayr?
Airdrie and Ayr, exactly right. And then they've got United.
So there we go. That'll be. Let's hope that we're like a top of the table clash.
Absolutely.
So, particularly for the both from our patch.
Yep. Yeah.
Right, good stuff, guys. Thanks very much again this week. And thank you for listening. We'll be back next Monday. Bye for now.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it, or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people to find Talking Football, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget too to pick up your copy of The Courier Monday to Saturday, or go to thecourier.co.uk/subscribe to find out how to get our award-winning sport, business and local journalism across Tayside and Fife in the way that's right for you. The Courier. Local matters.